With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You're not going to believe what I just discovered out in the CBS Sports Radio newsroom. Oh, my gosh. In fact, it might have been worth the Nick Nurse meme. I don't know that I'll respond with a caption of my own on social media, but do you know what might do it? There is an open package of maple syrup Peeps on the counter in the CBS Sports Radio newsroom. Peeps. Do you all know what Peeps are? Both Chris and Brian just nodded. Good. I'm glad you guys know what Peeps are. They are those marshmallow, sugar-coated, brightly colored candies that are so popular at Easter. And actually, I taught kiddos on both Friday during a Good Friday service and on Sunday morning at Easter service at church. And they all informed me that they had eaten Peeps. I didn't know that they are still that popular. Do you know that I heard this on the news. This was on the news. At the Peeps plant. Well, it's a Peeps factory. In Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. They turn out 5.5 million Peeps a day. What, do we really consume that many Peeps? Also, they told me that this news story shared the ingredients in a Peep. Yeah, no, something called liquid sugar, which makes me really nervous. Anyway, lots of kids still love Peeps. And right now, clearly some adults do as well, because the package outside in the newsroom only has 3 baby maple syrup Peeps left. So who's up for a Peeps challenge? Brian, go eat a maple syrup Peep. Tell me what you think. You got to bring it back to, be careful, you can't eat it over that soundboard there. But you have to bring it back so we can see your face when you eat a maple syrup Peep. I feel like Chris wouldn't be caught dead eating a maple syrup Peep.
No, ma'am.
So, and I don't eat Peeps anymore. I haven't had a Peep in probably 20 years, nor do I think I'll ever go back to eating a Peep. Unless, of course, Brian says that it's the best thing he's ever tasted. A maple syrup Peep. Do you know how long it takes to make one individual Peep? Again, according to CBS News, 6 minutes. 6 minutes to churn one Peep off a factory line, and they make 5.5 million per day. Are you about to eat that maple syrup Peep? All right, mic on. This is the best thing you've ever heard on the radio.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, go ahead. Maple syrup Peep.
It's a little crunchy, I'm not going to lie.
It's probably because it's been sitting out there for days.
That's disgusting.
That is disgusting.
He took a healthy bite.
And the package was open. Yes, he did, in fact, eat half the Peep in one fell swoop.
I'll tell you what, I'm getting a lot of syrup.
So you can taste the maple syrup.
Oh, yeah. Also, pure... pure sugar.
Oh.
I mean, the coating around this thing is just... pure sugar.
Your voice sounds so different right now. Almost as though the inside of your mouth has been coated with the liquid sugar.
The inside's very soft, but the outside is a little chewy.
Well, that's again, because the package is open and it's been sitting out there.
My hands are sticky.
Well, don't touch the board. Oh, my gosh, we're going to get fired. Well, I'm not. You're going to get fired.
I don't want to get fired.
Don't touch the board. Do you need to go wash your hands?
Yes.
I feel like there's wipes in here. Hold on. Nope, somebody else has used up all the wipes. They're all not right in here, so don't touch anything.
Brian can escort himself to the men's room. I will make sure all things are good and well in the CBS Sports Radio control room.
Can I score them? Can I rate them?
On a scale of 1 to 10?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd give them a 5.6. Not great.
5.6.
Not great. There's a sweetness to it that it could be pleasurable to some, but...
If you like maple syrup?
Yeah, it's not my kind of thing. It's... I'd say it's a lesser version of pancakes. So if you're in the mood for pancakes after you have your Easter feast, you can try some maple syrup.
Okay,
Peeps.
No, I'm not going to do that. I just prefer the actual pancakes and maple syrup, if you must know.
May I be excused?
Please go wash your hands. I'm afraid of anything that you might touch. So that was really interesting to start the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. maple syrup Peeps. 5.5 million Peeps per day at the factory. Do we really consume that many Peeps as a nation? Do you know they're still the second most popular Easter candy behind chocolate? I feel like chocolate is all-encompassing, but the second most popular Easter candy besides chocolate. So, on that note, I hope you enjoyed your Easter and all of its Peeps, as well as your Passover. And I know I have many friends who had Passover Seders the last couple of nights. I think it's cool that the holidays coincide this year, and we're doing a lot of celebrating over the weekend. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, and we're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I didn't have any family time over the Easter weekend. However, I was invited to spend time with another family, which is great. And I talked to my Grammy. Now, for those who listen on a regular basis, you may know that Grammy Helen just turned 97 2 weeks ago. And as a accompaniment to her birthday, she goes for her annual checkup at the doctor's office. Listen to this. The doctor said she's really healthy and has absolutely nothing wrong with her. At 97 years old, okay, she's got diabetes, but it's firmly under control. She's had diabetes for a long time, for decades and decades. So she takes her meds and it's no problem. She does have hearing aids and she gets drops in her eyes every now and then. But otherwise, maybe a little arthritis here and there. That's the worst. She's got it. At 97 years old, the woman is a tank. And I say that with the most adoration and affection that I can possibly muster.
Women lie, but the numbers don't.
I do have a new picture of Grammy Helen, but I'm not sure I'm going to put it up on social media. I don't know. It's got other family members in it, so I may not. But Grammy, so I talked to her on Saturday night, and she told me about her trip to the doctor, and that the doctor said she was really healthy and, you know, healthy for a 97-year-old, and that he had no issues with anything that was going on in her physical body. And so she was happy about that. And then I said, okay, Grammy. Now, my Grammy loves bright colors. She's really into bright colors, and she has very special bright outfits that she wears for significant days, like her birthday or like Easter. And so I said, what color are you wearing to church on Sunday, Grammy? I talked to her Saturday night. She said, I have picked out a bright magenta jacket. So, now, let me just tell you, when my grandma wears bright magenta, she owns it. So I got a picture sent to me by some other family members who saw her in Wisconsin on Sunday. And I'm not kidding you. The woman at 97 years old was wearing a purple pantsuit with a bright magenta jacket. Maybe if I can edit the photo so that it doesn't include the other family members, only because there's some kids in it, maybe I will. She just killed it. At 97 years old, purple and bright pink in her jacket. And she's doing well. Thank you for asking. I know many of you always react and send me tweets and Facebook messages about Grammy Helen. She's doing really well. And I'm planning my next visit to visit her in Wisconsin. All right. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Still ahead on the show, we have one NBA team that has moved into the second round. So we will get to that. And kind of a homecoming of sorts, similar or maybe even better than what Klay Thompson had in store for Staples Center and Los Angeles on Sunday. And also, we have another significant injury, this time to the fearless leader of the Yankees. They can survive a lot. I don't know that they can survive this injury. Now, the season is really long, so all they have to do is stay afloat. But this could be the one that sends them reeling in the other direction. And then I have another topic that I want to bring up, too, about the interaction of athletes with the media. And I'd love to hear your responses. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Lots of you weighing in with the best two-word phrases in sports, but also you're giving us your captions for the Nick Nurse meme. Just, it's a wide open O in the middle of his face. Oh! It reminds me of something out of The Office. I don't know why. Anyway, Kevin responds with, someone stole my pants. Yeah, I could see that would elicit that type of response. So we're going to get to all those things. So on Twitter, on Facebook as well. Then our phone number again is 855-212-4227. But the reason why we're asking you about the best two-word phrases in sports is because we've got a pair of Game 7s coming up on Tuesday. Not just one. I'm assuming the early one will be in Boston. The later one will be in San Jose. SAP Center. The place they call the Tank. Why? Well, because the Sharks have survived the Golden Knights to even the series. They were trailing 3-1 in the series. As the 2 seed in the West, the Sharks have been on the ropes to the Golden Knights, the same team that knocked them out of the playoffs a year ago in the conference semifinals. And so the Sharks had to go into Vegas, where they've looked awful, really, for a good portion of this series. They had to go into Vegas and win a game to force that series back to San Jose. So it's fitting, I think, that one of the major names who pulled off a major feat in game number 6 was Martin Jones, the goaltender for the Sharks, because he's a big reason why they fell into a 3-1 hole. He had a rough series. Now, there's a lot of firepower for the Golden Knights. They have a great home ice advantage. And very often, they had gotten on top early and been able to protect that lead. And so, he even got pulled from a game earlier in the series and maybe felt like he had something to prove. This series is so physical. Oh my gosh. There might be more checks, more nasty hits than there are shots on goal. So a friend of mine sent me a text during overtime, and I was breathing into a bag. He sent me a text during overtime saying the Sharks need to generate more shots. They need to generate more shots across the board. And I said, they're wasting too much time beating each other up, because that's what they're doing in this series. And so they play through the entire first overtime. So many moments in which you thought the game might be over on either side. And then they go into double overtime. And I'm telling you, so that the Sharks Twitter account put out a tweet at the end of the first overtime that said, breathe in, breathe out, all caps, breathe in, breathe out. And all I could respond with was, I'm trying. I was trying, but it was, it was freaking me out. So they go into the second overtime and the Sharks put the Knights on the power play. Oh, recipe for San Jose disaster.
Here comes Vegas on the power play to the Sharks line. Burns checking it, can't clear it. Kept in by Theodore, throws front of the net. Vlasic sends it ahead to Hurdle. He's shorthanded. He's moving in. He shoots. He scores! Tomas Hurdle wins in the second overtime with a shorthanded goal.
Oh my gosh. A turnover in front of the net at one end. Mark Edward Vlasic sends it up ice to Tomas Hurdle, who scores his 5th goal of the series. By the way, did not guarantee that they would have a game 7. Did say they were the better team, but did not guarantee anything. His own teammate said he doesn't speak English very well and a lot gets lost in translation. Anyway, he had remembered, because of the way that he had been shooting in the series, that Fleury had been playing him heavy to the glove side. And so he thought he saw Fleury kind of snake down and cheat to the glove side, the strong side. So instead he goes almost oppo, be like oppo field in baseball. Instead he goes weak side, past the left shoulder of Marc-Andre Fleury. Now, you could see Fleury stopping that shot 9 times out of 10. But these teams were exhausted, and I know goalies aren't racing up and down the ice, but it's still a long time to focus and stay locked in. And in fact, Hurdle said after the fact, he was so tired that he couldn't even celebrate. He didn't even know what to do. So he tried describing the goal and not a whole lot came out. But they all pointed to Martin Jones as the reason why they were still in the series. An unbelievably physical series that now will go a 7th game in San Jose coming up on Tuesday.
I thought we played great. It's an awesome game. Goaltenders are good at both ends, and when it goes 5 periods to the 2-1 final, it's a hell of a game, just like we talked about before the game. So lots of energy, lots of fresh legs, and overtime, a lot of people ran out of fresh legs, but it was a hell of a game.
Yeah, I don't know how many fresh legs they're going to be coming up on Tuesday. That's a pretty quick turnaround after a double overtime game. Also, if you haven't seen it, now this is a GIF. I know the difference between a meme and a GIF. A meme is Nick Nurse. There's a GIF out there that's actually on the NHL Twitter that is pretty amazing. It really is an indication of how close the series is. It's almost a GIF that's a microcosm of the entire series because there are bodies flying everywhere, and it's a game of nano inches. So they go into overtime, that first overtime, and Timo Meier has a shot off his own rebound, right? So there's a scrum in front of the net, and he gets his own rebound, and it goes over the top of Marc-Andre Fleury. So it's headed for the net. It's headed for the goal line. Instead, you've got two defensemen for the Golden Knights who are literally laying out, spread eagle. They're piling up at the goal line to keep this puck from going across the goal line into the net. It's pretty amazing. In fact, maybe I'll go and tweet it myself. Just all out. Lots of block shots, lots of checks, lots of teeth being lost, lots of bruises. And then they go into double overtime. And they have to turn around and play a game 7 coming up in 48 hours. Whew. That's what you call the intensity, the sense of urgency, everything we want, all the emotion we want in a sporting event. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I love all of your responses. You guys are really active tonight. Game 7, is there a better two-word phrase in sports? Sudden death is a good one. Gold medal, really good one. Masters champ is a good one. World champ is also a scintillating response.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Switches to the right hand, driving strong, draws some contact. Runner is good. Score to the foul for Gordon Hayward.
Woo! Gordon Hayward, bang, bang, Santa Claus.
Gordon Hayward behind the Horford screen. He's deep. He's going to do this himself. Gordon Hayward, pull up three. Got it!
That was nasty.
They say you can't come home again. Gordon Hayward back in the building where he won a state championship. Finds Hayward, the hot hand for three. Good night. Gordon Hayward, appropriately enough, comes home to Indiana and closes the show. Timeout, Nate McMillan. But this game, this series, and his season are over.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on the Celtics radio network. So on the same day that the Bruins force Game 7 against the Maple Leafs, the Boston Celtics close out their first round series against the Pacers. And certainly the Pacers were game in this series, and this was not a four-game stretch, even though it was a sweep. It was not a four-game stretch in which the Celtics looked real comfortable at any point. They had stretches in which they could put together, a bunch of points. So Kyrie Irving had some really big stretches, remember, earlier in the series. In this particular game 4, it was Gordon Hayward and Marcus Morris who had a bunch of big triples in the fourth quarter. But the Celtics did not shoot well for a good portion of this series. And most of what you saw against the Pacers was scratching, clawing, gritty, gutty. It just, at times, was uncomfortable basketball. But it got the job done. And in fact, it's only the second playoff sweep for Boston since the mid-80s. And their first in 8 years, believe it or not. Pacers may have just run out of gas. Remember, in the first game, they had a third quarter with only 8 points. In the second game, I believe it was, they only scored a dozen points in the fourth quarter. So without Victor Oladipo, give Nate McMillan's group credit because they hung in there enough to still make the playoffs. And in fact, they were a 3 seed for a good portion of the season in the Eastern Conference. Couldn't quite hang on to that. And so they end up slipping to the 5 seed. But if you're Nate McMillan, you have to appreciate what this team gave you despite the odds.
Thank you for the effort, because all season long, and really since we got this group together last season, effort has not been a problem for us.
we found a way to win, and it wasn't always the same. I think credit the Pacers, man. They fight and scrap and really physical defensively, made it difficult for us. We didn't get very many good looks, especially early on before we figured them out. And, you know, they're well coached, and they got guys that compete.
That's Gordon Hayward. There is the last 20 points off the bench in 34 minutes. And it's weird still sometimes for me to see Hayward coming off the bench. But the longer this series has stretched on, the more comfortable he looks. The more confident he looks. And that's huge for the Celtics if they're going to make a deeper run. Now, if everything holds true to form, they will run into the top seed Milwaukee Bucks in the second round. Milwaukee's up 3-0 and really hasn't been tested by the Pistons, not even with Blake Griffin back. I mean, there have been a couple of stretches where the Pistons have managed to pull their nose out in front. But for the most part, this has been a dominant performance by the Bucks. And so that game four is coming up in the Motor City on Monday, and it's followed by game four between the Rockets and the Jazz. And so that's the doubleheader on Monday. We're getting down now to the last couple of games here. I know the NBA is a little bit behind the NHL, but we're getting down to these last handful of games here in the first round. Now have three teams that have moved on to the second round between the two sports, and there's also a doubleheader in the NHL on Monday. The defending champion Washington Capitals can close out the Carolina Hurricanes. I don't know if you saw their dominant performance on Saturday, I guess it was, 6-0. The Canes just got clobbered. And so the Capitals will now head on the road to see if they can close out their series. Meanwhile, you've got the Dallas Stars attempting to dispatch the Nashville Predators. So Dallas is up right now 3-2, hosting game six. So a pair of game sixes and a pair of game fours between the NHL and the NBA. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Gordon Hayward did admit that he had some extra juice playing at home in front of fans that know him well, family and friends. Klay Thompson said the same thing when he started out 7-for-7 in the Warriors' performance against the Clippers on Sunday. And so we'll see. We'll start to see how much of this momentum can carry forward, whether it's on the ice, whether it's on the court. Momentum is fleeting in sports. And you take even a breather, you take your foot off the gas for even a second, and you can find yourself coughing up a 31-point lead. Now, that's rare, obviously. But the matchups will change. So moving into the second round, you may have been extremely dominant and you may have been able to win the matchup at every position in your first round series. But then looking ahead, obviously, all of that balance of power can change in the second round. I do think wisdom and experience plays a role in the postseason, especially the deeper you go, both the deeper into series as well as the deeper into the playoffs itself, simply because you're talking about the type of pressure that if you haven't faced it before, it can be a little bit foreign to you. So we'll see. We'll see whether or not the Celtics can continue to gut things out here or if they're going to run into the buzzsaw that has been the Milwaukee Bucks in the East all season long. And also there is still the potential, I think specifically with the Nuggets and the Spurs for a game seven. Remember, that's a two seed in the West, but even though San Antonio has gone through a ton of transition, they still have a coaching staff that's got more experience in Greg Popovich's pinky than a lot of, the rest of the divisions and conferences combined. Also, DeMar DeRozan got fined, well, ejected and then fined for chucking a basketball at a referee during their game over the weekend, kind of lost his head a little bit. So there's a lot happening between these two sports. We definitely saw a bunch of road warriors over the weekend, which I thought was interesting as well. The home court, the home field, the home ice will mean something if the players make it mean something and if the fans really buy into it. But it doesn't always mean something. If you have a team that's battle tested, if you have a group of guys who's comfortable facing adversity, in fact, who likes feeling like it's us against the world, well, then it's not that much of an advantage. I mean, this is just a recent example, but the Patriots going into Kansas City for the AFC Championship. Now, had they lost their last bunch of AFC Championship games on the road? Yes, but they weren't going to be rattled by the atmosphere there in Kansas City, where a team that doesn't have as much experience, isn't used to fighting through adversity and kind of being us against the world, that team might not have that same type of mentality and focus. Let's see, on Twitter, Chip says the best two-word phrase in sports is, of course, Roll Tide. And this is actually coming from Manila in the Philippines, so an expat there. And all of you are sending me hysterical captions for the Nick Nurse meme. So if you haven't seen it, they're pretty good. James says it's me after watching 7 hours of WrestleMania. Scotty says when your wife does that thing she swore she'd never do. I don't know. It might be me watching some of the Star Wars trailers because I have such a hard time waiting, but also the possibilities are endless. Oh! All right, coming up, it might be the injury that the New York Yankees cannot survive. We'll see. We'll see moving forward, but there's certainly a history and a track record that indicates the injury to their fearless leader might be the one that derails them.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here's the 2-1. Hit on the ground, base hit. Left field, past the dive of Owings. Romine comes through. It's a ribby base hit. Hockman scores, and the Yankees have tied the game at 6. And Kennedy deals. Breaking ball hit in the air to deep right center. Eck will win the game. It's over Hamilton's head. Scoring is Hockman. He hits home plate. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of John Sterling on the Yankees radio network. And there was certainly a positive end to a day that produced a bunch of bad news for the New York Yankees. But Austin Romine had 3 RBI total, but late stages of their game against the Royals, the second run-scoring single, one of them coming in the 8th inning, another coming then in extra innings. And the Yankees were able to get the win. And this was after they had a 5-0 lead that they actually squandered because of their bullpen. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Yankees already had a dozen players on the IL. It takes some getting used to. It's not the IR. It's not the DL. It's the IL. It's as though Major League Baseball had to come up with their own little phrase for the place where injured players go to heal and to rehab and to return. Well, whatever that list is for you, that's where Aaron Judge is going to be spending a good portion of time. Again, already a dozen players from the New York Yankees that are on the IL, and now the heart of their clubhouse, really the guy that wields the biggest bat, but also patrols the outfield and is out there kind of, I would say, through all of the injuries at the start, kind of providing that beacon of hope. Okay, Aaron Judge is still out there. It's going to be okay. We haven't completely reverted to an entire AAA roster until he is hitting in the 6th inning on Saturday against the Royals. And while the swing may not look a whole lot different to anybody else, in fact, it was a hit, he instantly, once he swings the bat, drops it, he instantly kind of grabs his left oblique. And so you can't really see anything weird or awkward on the swing, but you can see his reaction after the fact. And he immediately had to leave the game. So he made it to first base. As I say, it was a hit. But he was moving very gingerly and grimacing on first base. So the athletic trainer comes out right away. They literally pull him from the game at that moment. They don't even wait until the half inning is over. And I'm not sure, depending on what video you saw, if you happen to see any video that was posted after the fact, the one particular video that I happened to see had a camera in the dugout and caught him dropping a very loud F-bomb. So he was really frustrated, as you can imagine. It was actually against the Royals last summer that he got hit by a pitch and had a broken wrist. And now here he is against the Royals again. Not that that matters. It wasn't anything the Royals did. But he is back on the injured list, this time with the oblique strain.
It's tough. And that was one of my goals. I didn't want to, you know, get back on the, you know, the DL or anything. And you know, especially tough times like this when a lot of guys are beat up, I wanted to be out there in the trenches with the guys, you know, every single day, you know, fighting through some tough times. But, you know, it happens, and it's a tough spot.
I feel like that's worth a Nick Nurse meme. Oh, as in, ouch, that hurts. So manager Aaron Boone calls it a pretty significant strain and that there's no timetable for his return. He was actually out for, was it? Don't tell me, 6 weeks? No, it was longer than that. It was 8 weeks that he was out? No. It was six. Yeah, it was the good portion of the second half of the season with the broken wrist. Now, this isn't a broken bone, but there's not a whole lot you can do for an oblique. You just have to rest it. That's it. It's like a stress fracture. There's no treatment that you can do for a strained oblique. You just have to wait until it heals. And obviously, any type of baseball activity that you would do that involves stretching to make a catch or swinging a bat, all of that can aggravate said strained oblique and make it worse. So it sucks for the Yankees, to be sure. And I wonder whether or not this is the injury that kind of sinks them. Not saying that they're doomed for the rest of the year, but that he's the player that they can least afford to lose. So going back to last year, when he was out, they were barely above 500 the entire stretch that he was gone. They went 25-20 while he was out. Before that, they were nearly 30 games above 500. So with him in the lineup, they are a completely different team. But yeah, he's now the 13th player on the injured list for the Yankees, which is, of course, the most in Major League Baseball. Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Hicks, Gary Sanchez, Didi Gregorius, Miguel Andujar, Greg Bird. These are all everyday starters who are not available. Troy Tulowitzki, who is a new acquisition, he's out as well. That one probably isn't a huge surprise. But this is why guys like Mike Tauchman are forcing John Sterling to come up with a new home run call that he might never have come up with otherwise. New York actually started the day 10-10. So without Aaron Judge, they're above 500. But who knows for how long? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So we've put up our latest Man Crush Monday poll. And one of the candidates, now keep in mind, it's a free country, this America that we live in. And even those of you who are not listening in America, I actually saw a post on our Facebook page that I'll read to you quickly. Frank says, listening here in Saigon, Vietnam, originally from Toronto, we just won our softball league, the Saigon International Softball League, this past weekend as the underdogs. They're called the Gorillas, and it's not spelled like the animal. That's interesting. In the United States, that would have a completely different connotation. But thank you, Frank, for listening in Vietnam. And then we read a tweet from Chip, who is in the Philippines, tuned in. That's awesome. Glad we can give you guys some taste of North America. I guess in Frank's case, it's Canadian. But we are talking about both the Raptors and we've been talking about the Maple Leafs Bruins series as well. So we put up our Man Crush Monday poll. Of course, you can respond with your own write-in candidate. But despite everything that happened this weekend in hoops and hockey, we actually have a candidate from Major League Baseball because it was some kind of wonderful for Cody Bellinger. And he's off to some kind of incredible start to the season as well.
is Yelich. It's a high fly ball deep to right center. Going back on it is Bellinger at the wall. He leaps, and he makes the catch. What a play by Bellinger as he reached up over the top of the wall and yanked one back from Yelich. And Cody swings, and he drives one deep to right field. It is back. It is gone. A home run for Bellinger. And the Dodgers lead it 6-5. He took the 1-2 pitch out of here.
It's still weird for me to hear Tim Neverett on the Dodgers radio network, but that's what it is. And Cody Bellinger with double duty. So out into the eighth inning, he perfectly times his jump to rob Christian Yelich of a home run. Now, that was in the eighth inning when the Dodgers still had the lead. That was before Kenley Jansen allowed a three-run home run to Eric Thames, who... they were down to their last out in the eighth there, two outs in the eighth, and that made it a 5-5 game. So Bellinger had to then face Josh Hader and was able to come up with what turned out to be the game winning run. So he's part of our Man Crush Monday poll. Despite everything we've got going on in hoops and hockey playoffs, Bellinger, as I say, is off to some kind of start. Now Yelich leads the majors with 13 home runs, not 14. That would have been number 14 if Bellinger hadn't caught it. But it's been a pretty impressive start for Bellinger as well. And so that a lot of what the Dodgers have done this season offensively has been because of him. He has 10 home runs, so he's second in the National League, actually second in the majors, tied with Chris Davis of Oakland behind Yelich. But he also leads the National League with a .407 batting average. At what point do we expect these to start dipping? I mean, there are a bunch of guys who were over .400 to start the year and have now seen their numbers drop. Though Tim Anderson of the White Sox is still above .400 as well. But Bellinger, like Yelich early on, very, 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 very early on, is a Triple Crown candidate. Tops in the National League in batting average, second in both home runs and RBI. Though the reigning NL MVP in Yelich is he's being the reigning NL MVP. As Willie says on Twitter, what a month from Christian Yelich as well. So you can vote for Man Crush Monday, again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our show Twitter as well, After Hours CBS. We always have memes and videos there. And then our Facebook page. A lot of you are weighing in. And your responses to the Nick Nurse are hysterical. Chris says, so again, if you haven't seen the meme, it's essentially Nurse with his mouth wide open in the most giant O that you can make without dislocating your jaw. Oh, just do it with me. Oh! And Chris says, when you're singing baritone, that's so true. let's see. Doug says, insert maple syrup peep here. Or it could be John Sterling making like Nick Nurse. Brian, how's that maple syrup peep treating you now, about an hour later?
Not well.
Not well?
Not well.
Is it sitting in the bottom of your stomach?
Literally the bottom of my stomach.
In a rock, like in a rock shape, yeah. A peep shape? It's a peep-shaped rock?
There's a giant peep at the bottom of my stomach.
Well, thank you for being game. I am pretty impressed that you actually did that.
Anything for the show.
Oh, wow. Tom says, in response to the Nick Nurse meme, when your hotel has an actual breakfast bar. Nathan says, oh shoot, I don't watch Game of Thrones. I'm going to get her name wrong. Arya? Is it Arya? Arya? Arya! Arya did what on the Game of Thrones? I like it. You guys are fun, at least tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.